I cannot believe it has taken me 230 episodes of this dang podcast to have Eliza Blank, founder of The Sill, on to share her incredible journey. If you interact with the houseplant community online at all, you have likely been impacted by the effect that The Sill has had on the online houseplant community. And also, you've probably seen their content on their huge Instagram page and or website. Because The Sill was one of the original houseplant brands that exploded in popularity before the pandemic when houseplants became popular. The founder, Eliza Blank, has the most incredible female founder story of seeing a need in the market for a houseplant brand and growing it to the nationally recognized name that it is now. And I think it's interesting to hear these stories because we on the consumer side have been affected by them, right? By the brands in this industry. I recently got to sit down with Eliza for a live taping of the podcast at the Northwestern Flower and Garden Festival in Seattle to get all the details about how she grew the seed of an idea into The Sill. It's such a great conversation, so get ready for all the plant puns and come along. Welcome to the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where we not only learn how to care for plants successfully, but how to simply and affordably use our plant babies to cultivate more joy in our lives by doing so. I'm Maria, former plant killer turned happy plant lady, author of Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness, speaker, podcaster, and most importantly, your new best plant friend. On Growing Joy with Plants, you'll find conversations about houseplant care, gardening tutorials, and wellness through the lens of plants. Hello, plant friends. Welcome. Welcome to the podcast. If you're new here, I'm Maria. I'm the host of the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, and I'm here to help you grow joy in your life by caring for plants successfully. And if you're an OG or repeat listener, welcome home. Welcome back, my plant friend. Thank you for showing up to this podcast on a weekly basis. I'm honored to be a part of your journey. When it comes to journeys, The Sill has probably affected all of us. We probably all know who The Sill is. It's one of the largest plant brands. And Eliza is the most impressive and supportive founder I know. We talk about our personal relationship in the beginning of this podcast episode. So I'll wait, but I'm so excited to highlight this amazing plant lady on the show today. We did this interview live, so the audio is going to sound different. It's still great. We were on stage, on the main stage at the Northwestern Flower and Garden Festival in Seattle. It was incredible. Plant friends, it was this enormous flower show, flower festival in Seattle that had a million plant vendors, plant accessories, all sorts of talks. You know, Eliza and I were one of the talks. And it was so inspiring and it was so fun to just be around so many other plant people. I finally got a wishlist plant of mine, a coconut orchid, Maxillaria tenufolia. It's an orchid whose blooms smell like coconuts. They also nickname it the pina colada orchid. I've never had an orchid before. I'm super excited to try and care for it. So stay tuned on my Instagram to see how it grows. And without further ado, I want to dive into this conversation I have with Eliza. And if you don't know The Sill, you should go follow them on Instagram. Go to thesill.com. They have a lot of educational resources for you. It's where I learned so much in my beginner plant parenthood. The first 6 months of me caring for houseplants was me going on thesill.com every single day and reading every blog that they have and like every care guide for their houseplants. That truly was the beginning of my plant parent journey. So I hope that this conversation inspires you. Those of you who are entrepreneurs in the plant space, those of you who are female founders, maybe, or just, you know, boss babes, right? So without further ado, here's Eliza. Do we have any houseplant lovers in the audience? Raise your hands if you like houseplants. Woo! Yes. I see someone raising two hands. Oh, I see someone liking houseplants. Yes. All okay. Right. Scream out, what's your favorite houseplant that you're growing right now?
Yes, classic.
Yes.
Hoyas.
Pothos, Hoya, snake, love it. Mm-hmm. Well, we're so lucky to be joined by the godmother, fairy godmother of houseplants, I like to call you, Eliza from The Sill. For those of you that don't know, my name is Maria. I'm the host of the Growing Joy with Plants podcast. If you like podcasts and you like plants, you're going to love the show. And I introduced the podcast at the beginning of this interview because I want to start this conversation with Eliza because we're celebrating Eliza and The Sill and what she's grown today. I, as a planty entrepreneur, female entrepreneur in the space, would not be here without the support that Eliza and her company have given me over the years. She is one of the founders and one of the main establishers of houseplants in the space. And when I started my podcast, I just remember your team saying, how can we help? Can we put you on our social media? Can we give you our experts to come on your show? And I think that speaks to really who you are as an entrepreneur and speaks to the amazing brand that you've built. So I feel so lucky that we get to be here talking today.
Thank you. One of the best parts of having this business is to meet other amazing plant people.
Yeah.
I feel the same way.
Truly. So when we're talking about plant people, let's start with you as a plant person. How did you get into houseplants? Have you always loved them? What does your journey with plants look like as a hobbyist before this all started?
When I grew up, plants were very much the backdrop to my childhood. Mm. And it was a little bit of a mystery, right? My mother just tended to the plants. They weren't really my responsibility, but they were there and they were an integral part of our household. But my mother also just had this like magic about her. She just knew. Now she knew because she had 40 years of experience testing and trialing and lots of errors and such. And so I didn't really think about it until I left home. And for me, I left home and moved to New York City where plants are far and few between.
Yeah, concrete jungle.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, I went to New York for school and my freshman year dorm room was on the 11th floor. And the tallest building in my hometown was probably 3 stories.
Yeah.
So just that literal disconnect from nature, I really felt that deeply. And so I wanted to get into plants. I wanted to cultivate my own collection. Mm-hmm. And I realized I actually had nowhere to start. I did not know what to do because my mother was the green thumb. And so I found myself making mistake after mistake and not really knowing where to go. Mm. So buying a plant one place, buying a plant or another place, buying potting soil a third place. And I had this moment where I felt really compelled to say, there must be a better way.
Yeah.
And so the SIL was born in 2012, almost 12 years ago, which is crazy.
No joke. Yeah.
No joke. I was 26. And I will say there's not been a single day that's been easy, but it really resonated with people right away.
Mm, definitely. As you were definitely, I would say, probably one of the first adopters in the houseplant space. What was it like making houseplants a thing when previously, when you thought gardening, you thought outdoor, you thought vegetable, you thought perennials, you didn't think indoor gardening. So what was that like to show up trying to build a brand in a space where the houseplants weren't that much of a thing yet?
No, that's absolutely right. So I think twofold, right? I think on one hand, I felt like I had just discovered this category, which of course I did not discover.
Yeah, of course.
But I felt very compelled to elevate this category and define it for a modern person or a young person or a person living in a constrained situation like my first apartment. And that was really exciting. It didn't really occur to me the challenge that might be given that the consumer was really thinking about plants outdoors, whether that's just because I was naive or not, whatever.
Yeah.
I was just really excited to tackle that because it was a problem that I had experienced and I really wanted to solve for. But I also felt like no one was going to garden in the same way that my mother gardens, which now that I'm older, I don't actually think is true anymore.
Okay.
But, you know, my mother will spend 6 leisurely hours on a Sunday, like tending to her garden, and actually probably more than 6. And I, at the time, did not spend 6 consecutive hours doing anything. Mm. So what was my connection going to be? And so houseplants, for that reason, became sort of this really easy, small, low-risk, tangible way for young people, especially living in urban environments, to get involved.
I'm so curious, what did your houseplant collection look like before the SIL became a thing when you were just the hobbyist filling her filling her house with houseplants? What did it look like?
A lot of dead plants.
Yeah.
It's interesting because houseplants now has, you know, so I think about houseplants through the lens of someone who lives in the Northeast.
Yeah.
So to me, there's a very strong delineation between plants that grow outdoors and plants that grow indoors. Mm-hmm. You go to California and it's like, it's all the same.
Yeah.
So I didn't really understand that. And I didn't really understand the difference between my environment and my mother's environment. And so a lot of dead plants is what I'll say, which is another reason why I think the SIL was a unique solution at the time, because nobody was trying to educate the consumer to actually choose the plant that was correct for their environment. It was either, this is what's at the grocery store, or this is what's like interesting and unique and trendy, irregardless of whether or not your home is the right space for it.
That was 100% my experience. Yeah. I used to be an epic plant killer, a lot of dead plants, because I would just buy my house plants at like the local bodega or like grocery store in New York City. Yeah. I didn't know their names and I would put them so far from my window. Like it was tragic.
Yeah.
And it was actually the Sill. The Sill was one of the first accounts that I found. And I remember I used to live on thesill.com reading your plant care guides and reading all of the educational material you gave. Trying to figure out, okay, but what is the plant that's going to work in my low light home? Or what is the plant that's going to work, you know, under a grow light or whatever it was.
Right.
And I think too, with consumers, we're so disconnected from nature. We don't, it's not intuitive
for
us.
No, it's not. I mean,
we need a lot of education.
When I look back at our education, broadly, photosynthesis, maybe that's it. And that's like
and that was in
one month in seventh grade. Mm-hmm. And the Sill started in an era of grocery store plants where all of the tags would literally just say houseplant. It's just like, oh, yeah,
houseplant.
This is a tropical houseplant.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, but like,
bright indirect light.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah,
maybe.
Maybe. And what does that mean?
Yep.
So I remember getting a receipt actually from Home Depot and wanting to reference what plant I purchased. And the receipt literally said houseplant.
Yeah.
I was like, what? Well, which houseplant?
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't know, but you could return it.
Right.
But that's not what I wanted to do. I didn't want to return it. I wanted it to thrive.
Yeah. No, totally. What was the moment when you were having plants as this hobby that you thought, wow, I think I want to make this a business? Like, what did that first month look like?
So, well, it's interesting because I actually came up with the concept of the Sill when I was 21, and I didn't launch the business until I was 26.
Okay.
Part of the reason why is because I had literally zero experience.
Yeah.
So I didn't know how to start the company. Literally, I did not know how to start. That being said, the idea, surprisingly, actually hasn't even changed. Our positioning, the problem we're solving, our ethos, now, if we're talking over the span of not even just the 12 years of business, but since I concepted it, has not changed. That's now, oh, I can't do the math, 16 years, something like that. But when I, that first month, even, it was still, how do you take something that has never been properly, I don't want to say marketed, because that sounds almost too businessy, but tended to.
Yeah.
Right?
Planty puns. Planty puns are so welcome. Yeah.
And I'm also in New York, right? Mm-hmm. And so I grew up in Western Massachusetts. I didn't really come from a very like commercialistic, consumeristic family. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden here I am in Manhattan and like there's like 200 different types of soap.
Yeah.
Or like 200 different shower curtains.
Yeah.
Or 200 different throat. I mean, it was endless. And so what I was trying to understand was why then do I not have choice in this category?
Yeah.
And why isn't there someone that I can look to that's not Martha, which love Martha.
Love Martha.
Love Martha.
Shout out.
I know. Yeah. But you know, I wasn't growing roses in Katona.
Like, No, totally. That's so real. It's like you took a spotlight and just shone it on on the house plant and it wasn't, it was totally in the background, which is so funny coming out of the pandemic where I feel like then people were only talking about house plants for so long.
Yeah.
So looking at your 12 years of the Sill, obviously plant puns, we both love them so much. Mm-hmm. So if we were to look at your journey in entrepreneurship in seasons, take us back to the beginning.
Okay.
What season was the beginning of the Sill? And maybe we can walk through your entrepreneurial journey, growing the Sill to the, you know, multi-million dollar brand that it is now, and what each of those seasons looked like, and the wins, the losses, all of it. Walk us through, because we might have
some
aspiring.
The long winter.
Yeah, the long winter. But I have a feeling we probably have aspiring entrepreneurs, and it's scary, and it's always so interesting to hear, especially from women who have done it successfully.
Yes. So it's interesting because obviously everything is a cycle.
Yeah.
And so I would describe the start of my business as spring.
Mm-hmm.
And I would describe the state that my business is in today as spring.
Yeah. So we've come full circle.
So we've come full circle. And that's so exciting. So the initial stages of having an idea, I mean, of course, you can draw the parallel. It's planting a seed.
Yeah.
And everything that's happening is actually happening below the soil, below the surface. You don't see anything. You don't know what the payoff is going to be.
Yep. You're stressing. You're like looking at the seed germinating, Matt, every day, being like, is it, did it pop yet? Or the, totally.
And what's crazy is I was at TPIE. I don't know if you guys have ever been because it's an industry trade show, but I went down to Florida. I did the tropical plant expo and I was handing out literally fake business cards because my business hadn't launched
yet. I did that too.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, I love that. Okay. Fake it till you make it.
I think it was like moo.com.
Yes.
Whoever was making business cards back then.
Yes.
Or not even. It was like FedEx. And people were looking at me like I had 12 heads.
So and it was just like your name at Gmail. Like yeah, it was, yeah, totally. Yeah.
Oh no, I'd already bought the domain for $11.
Okay. Oh my thankfully. God.
So everyone's good. Like, oh, how'd you come up with the name? And I'm like, it was $11.
Right.
So I went down and everyone looked at me like I had 12 heads because I said, oh, I'm going to sell plants online and I'm going to make house plants effectively a consumer brand. And that was spring.
Yeah. Were they excited or did they look at you like you had three heads?
I think they were skeptical.
Okay.
The consumer was excited. The industry was skeptical.
Yeah.
And I was excited. So that's all that mattered.
Yeah.
So the early days were definitely spring. I was doing literally everything myself. I had a website that you could shop on if you lived near me, because it meant that if you purchased something, I was going to go buy it from a wholesaler, pot it in my apartment, put it in a bag, take the subway to your home, knock on your door, and hand it to you.
Wow.
That was the Sill 1.0. And we didn't start shipping nationally for 2 years.
Imagine that beautiful harmony wafting its way through your home while you sit inside, bundled up and warm. It reminds me of the Danish term hygge, spelled H-Y-G-G-E, which is all about creating a warm atmosphere and enjoying the good things in life with good people while being cozy. Whenever I hear my Wind River wind chimes waft throughout my home, especially in the winter while I'm bundled up inside, it immediately sets me at ease and reminds me to take a mindful moment with a deep breath. So for today's ad, Wind River Chimes is gifting you a moment of coziness to drop in, take a deep breath, and feel all the warm and cozies. This winter, treat yourself or someone you love to the mindfulness and coziness that comes along with these magical Wind River wind chimes and personalize it. You can use the code GROWINGJOY at windriverchimes.com to get a free engraving to any engravable wind chime to add a special element to your gift. They come in a variety of colors, sizes, and sounds, so head to windriverchimes.com to listen and learn, and don't forget to use code GROWINGJOY at checkout to receive a free engraving. Do you have upcoming travel to a different country scheduled, or maybe you have a relative or a friend who speaks a different language that you want to connect with on a deeper level? Why not easily learn a new language with my favorite language learning tool, Rosetta Stone? I recently went to Italy and I brushed up on my Italian by using the Rosetta Stone app for like 20 minutes every morning. It was so easy to use. It was part of my morning practice. It was really fun. And let me tell you, Rosetta Stone works. It brushed me up so good. I was getting around Italy easily speaking Italian after putting those reps in. If you don't already know, Rosetta Stone is the trusted language learning tool available on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone has 30 years of experience, millions of users, and 25 languages offered. It makes language learning so fun, so easy, and so fast. It immerses you in the language, which is the fastest way to learn. So it's an intuitive process with no English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language. It even coaches you on pronunciation with its true accent feature, which is like basically having a physical trainer for your accent. It's so wild. The desktop and app options make it so easy to do consistently, and it's an amazing value. Lifetime membership has all 25 languages forever for any and all trips and language needs in your entire life. So this year I brushed up on my Italian, but next year Billy and I want to go to Japan so we could learn conversational Japanese with it. That's lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone has to offer, and right now they're offering 50% off. It's an insane steal. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Growing Joy with Plants listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life, plant friends. It's an insane deal. Redeem 50% off at Rosetta, R-O-S-E-T-T-A, stone.com/today. So did you ship nationally before you had a storefront?
It happened simultaneously.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So our first store and shipping nationally happened in 2014. And I would say our spring was long.
Yeah.
And I don't think enough people talk about this, is that actually building a business takes a lot of time. Mm. and a lot of patience. And there is no such thing as overnight success. And people ask me if I'm successful today. I'm like, I don't know. Jury's out.
Yeah.
So spring was long. Summer was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
From 2016. So I bootstrapped the business, which means I didn't take on any outside financing in the early days.
Right.
I bootstrapped it to north of $1 million,
mm-hmm.
which felt
cheers.
Amazing. Cheers amazing. To that. And that what was in 2016. And then I brought in some outside capital to support our growth. And it was glorious. Summer was also long. From 2016, I would almost argue through 2020
yeah.
was summer.
Mm-hmm.
I think winter started in 2020 also, though.
Yeah.
I said this to you when you were asking me about seasons. I don't know where fall goes.
Yeah.
What I actually said was, well, if you're like us who live in the Northeast, fall is kind of a shit show.
Yeah.
It's hot. It's cold. Nobody knows what's going on in fall. So actually, like, maybe COVID was fall
uh-huh.
if you're from the Northeast.
Some wins, some losses, an early freeze.
Yeah. An early freeze. Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Why is it summer in November?
Mm-hmm.
And then COVID was actually ended up being pretty tough on the business. And
which is surprising because I would think from an outside, oh, it's houseplants. Eliza's in houseplants. Houseplants are booming. Like, this, it must have been that it took off. So what was the struggle for you in COVID?
So during, I mean, I think to run a business through COVID was just really hard for everyone.
Yeah.
I think being a business owner with so many unknowns is really challenging. Obviously, COVID was big for the consumer's interest in plants. So there's a positive, but the industry honestly actually couldn't support it.
Yeah.
We ran out of plants, which I didn't think was possible.
Right.
And then we had to deal with the fact that growers were concerned about how to invest in their growth. You know, this is a typically conservative industry. They don't want to take a ton of risk,
mm-hmm.
which is actually probably in the long run a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we had all of this interest. We didn't have enough product. And it started this imbalance for about 18 months. And it wasn't just on the plant side. You know, we sell decorative planters. It was the whole supply chain.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's the consumer side, inflation, challenging economy, nobody knowing where anything's going.
Yeah.
So winter was tough, but I'm super optimistic that we are now officially in spring again.
Woohoo!
Yeah, woohoo is right. So I'm so excited. We are on solid footing as a business. I think customers now understand and recognize the power of houseplants.
Mm-hmm.
I think houseplants are a gateway into gardening, of course, but also other things that are great, like mm-hmm. self-care.
Yeah. Like self-care, like environmentalism, like caring for the earth, getting into sustainability. It's the gateway drug for living a happier life, however you want to call it, right?
Absolutely.
And a more intentional life,
absolutely.
I think. What kept getting you out of bed when you were in your winter and when you were mm-hmm. struggling? And I think we're seeing a lot of businesses right now that are kind of shuttering their doors, especially in the houseplant space, because the pandemic really threw everyone for a ride.
Yeah.
So what kept getting you to show up and fight for your company when it was hard?
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of businesses that started during the pandemic honestly didn't appreciate how hard this industry is.
Yeah.
It's just hard. Running a business is hard to begin with. Running a plant business, I mean, you got to be tough.
Yeah. With inventory that
really, when your inventory dies.
Yeah.
You know, any of you who feel bad about killing a plant, I kill plants on a commercial level. Like, I kill way more plants than you guys kill. But what keeps me going is honestly knowing how big of an impact plants can have in people's lives.
Mm.
I mean, literally everything that your book is about.
Yeah.
So it's that connection. It's knowing that at the end of the day, this is an intrinsically good product.
Yeah.
This isn't the next best face cream, although I love a good face cream.
Me too.
So that is what keeps me going. And I actually think the experience we had in COVID was really validating in a way to make this feel even higher than sort of just being a transactional business that sold houseplants. It was like, we really are showing up for people and delivering a happier life.
Yeah.
I mean, plants make people happy.
It's so deep. I hear from listeners, I'm sure you hear from consumers, how people are using their houseplants to cope with postpartum depression, to cope with post-traumatic stress disorder,
absolutely.
To get through hard times. The emotional connections that people have with houseplants. It was gifted to me by my, you know, mom or all of these things. It's so much deeper than just, like you said, the transaction.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about the plants.
Yeah.
So how do you source and get the plants? Do you work with one exclusive distributor? Like, what does that look like? What's the journey of getting the plants to your customers' homes?
Yeah. Thank you for asking that, because not everybody does.
Yeah.
Oh. And it's interesting because it's a, like I said, it's sort of an older industry.
Yeah.
It's not like you can just Google this and find out where plants come from, although most people can figure out they come from Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is the reality. But that's actually not true. A lot of our suppliers are in other states besides Florida. And we have been really lucky to, over the years, find and meet some really remarkable suppliers who are so dedicated to sustainability, to non-chemical practices, to growing really top quality product, and actually listening not only to the retailers, but to the end consumer.
Mm.
And that has been one of the most satisfying parts of this, is that I feel as if I've watched the industry really shift towards their exclusive customer being a big box retailer. Or even, you know, initially an independent garden center, but then really we were in the heyday of big box, where they're so disconnected from the end consumer. And now they're starting to pay attention to retailers like like The Sill, to understand that customers actually have really strong opinions about all of these big topics like sustainability. And that's been wonderful. So we get plants from Ohio, from North Carolina, from Florida, from California, and we have real relationships with these people. I mean, it's not like we're just flipping through a catalog and buying things. Like, we're on the phone, we're doing site visits, we're understanding in depth all of their growing practices. And that's just super exciting.
Yeah, that's so interesting. You mentioned also how you were saying, well, I don't know what my definition of success, I don't know. Do you feel like your definition of success has changed in the different seasons as you've grown your business?
Yes, because I've gotten older.
Yeah.
I think age has helped.
Yeah.
I think what matters to me in terms of what we build and sort of the legacy that The Sill leaves behind has shifted. I think actually during COVID in 2020 and beyond, I realized that one of the bigger impacts that I could have was actually on my team, my employees, more so than my customers, or as important.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So there was like an interesting moment of like reflecting and looking inward. And, you know, we've talked about here in other events, but I think representation really matters. And I think almost from that perspective alone, I feel very successful in that I've been able to be where I am as a woman, as a person of color, and just show other people that they can do what I'm doing.
Yeah. What has it been like to be a woman kick-ass leader in this industry that is predominantly male run, right?
Yeah.
What has that been like, felt like for you over the last 12 years?
It's felt awesome.
Yeah.
I feel awesome about it.
Yes.
No, I mean,
cheers again. That's what a great answer.
I'm going to drink again. This feels like a fun drinking game.
I know.
So, no, I mean, it's a really serious topic because this is a very male dominated industry. And I think part of the reason why I got, you know, the you have three heads look when I went down to TPIE's, I didn't look like everybody else. I was younger, I was a woman. I was talking about online. I mean, all sorts of things.
You were other in every single
element.
Yeah,
exactly. So it's been challenging, of course, but I think I take great pride and pleasure in sort of being the other.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of entrepreneurs actually start their businesses because they like have a little chip on their shoulder.
Yeah.
Like, I had a little something to prove.
Yeah.
And I think I've done it. And so no matter what happens with the business going forward, many businesses go through seasons and cycles, and not every business is meant to exist forever. But even still, I feel very pleased with the accomplishments that both I've made personally and the company and brand have made.
I love that so much. And I think it's so important for younger entrepreneurs like myself to hear women like you owning their success and owning that you feel good about this and owning that you did do the extraordinary. I mean, that's pretty impressive. And it inspires all of us here who are sitting hoping to build something, you know, a fraction of what you've built.
Thank you for saying that.
Oh, absolutely. Let's talk about trends. What are you seeing as trends in 2024?
So it's interesting. Another thing that has strangely come full circle. So if you'd asked me a few years ago what the hottest houseplant was, of course it was the fiddle leaf fig tree.
Yeah.
Everyone is so sick of hearing about a fiddle leaf fig tree if you're a houseplant lover, because everyone wants one. Nobody can take care of them.
You spend $200 and then all the leaves fall off. That's always the issue. Yeah. And,
but you know what? If you ask my mother, she'd be like, of course they're going to fall off. It's a ficus.
Right.
So, you know, we had to learn our lesson. But I think trees, just conceptually, are coming back. So our number one item in the past 12 months has been an olive tree. which I find really interesting. Yeah. It's actually like the antithesis of a ficus lyrata, because instead of having these big green leaves, yeah, it's got teeny tiny leaves. Mm-hmm. But I think the customer is just getting a little bit more confident,
yeah,
and adventurous.
And it's kind of exotic to be able, yeah, to be like, I'm growing olives. And not, yeah, that, I don't know if you can really grow the olives, but
most people can.
Yeah, to have the olive tree.
Or like a lemon tree. I mean, yeah, I think anything that has a tree, mm-hmm, that is intended to bear fruit,
yeah,
is something that we're going to see a lot of. Mm-hmm. I mean, certainly we are, and mm-hmm, we're very excited for that. I think we're going to see a lot of that. And what I love about that is, again, that feels like a real gateway to the outdoors.
Yeah, I love that. I feel like, too, the trees also speaks to, you know, in the pandemic, it was maximalist. It was how many, yes, houseplants can I have inside?
Jungle.
It was jungle.
Yeah.
And people now have gone back to their real lives. They've gone back to work. They've gone back to commuting, and, yeah, they can't sustain the 200 or 300. Yeah. And so I feel like I'm seeing a little bit of a minimalism moment.
Yeah.
And to have the one tree, like, mm-hmm, kind of statement tree in, mm-hmm, the corner instead of 40 smaller houseplants, mm-hmm, makes a lot of sense to me too.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. And then, you know, you just kind of alluded to outdoors, to an olive tree, which was something you didn't used to sell. I, right, remember when I used to shop with you when I lived in New York City. What is coming up for the sill? Yeah. Like, what can we be excited about?
Well,
besides the new sweatshirt, which I want, yes, and need. Yes.
Well, I feel like that was a little foreshadowing.
Yeah.
We're going to be getting a little bit outside of ourselves, which will be interesting, mm-hmm, considering we are called the sill.
Right.
And we've very much been in our houseplant world, but, yeah, I feel our customer has really grown up. Our customer is living in houses. They're not just in apartments. And we have all built confidence, like, we can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And we've also seen the payback.
Yeah.
So I think that's also, like, the most important thing is, look at this relationship I have with this little houseplant.
Mm-hmm.
What might it be like to step outside and garden?
Yeah. On the other side of the sill. You're just looking,
yeah,
you're looking in the sill instead of looking out of the, yeah, sill now.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
But also, so many people have balconies. I mean, when I lived in New, yeah, York City and I was shopping at the sill, I had a tiny balcony garden.
Yeah.
And then I had all my indoor houseplants, you, yeah, know? So makes total sense. You hear that slurping, plant friends? That is me on my dregs of my daily dose of greens, courtesy of today's sponsor, Equilibria. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and body back into harmony. I always have loved green juice and greens powders. Obviously, I love plants. I love growing plants. I love eating plants. Plants are good for you. And I have tried most greens powders brands on the market, honestly, at this point. I have to say, I'm really loving the Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens. I might argue it's probably one of the best tasting greens powders I've ever had, and that says a lot because I've tried most of them. The Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens contains an immune antioxidant and detox blend, along with prebiotics, probiotics, and over 35 fruits and veggies. There's no way I'm eating 35 fruits and vegetables throughout the day, but I love that I'm getting little doses and the micronutrients that are in each of the different veggies and fruits, right? Plus, they're certified organic, which I love. A lot of the competitors are not. I just mix one scoop of the greens powder into my water every day, and I'm shocked at how delicious this powder tastes. It's kind of like apple juice. I started back on the greens powder bandwagon because this spring, in this like season of rejuvenation, I'm kind of rejuvenating, doing an overhaul of my health. I've returned to my workout routine. I'm getting in more sleep. I've recommitted to my morning practice, and I've made this Equilibria Nutri-Greens part of that morning practice, drinking the powder in water in the morning. Plus, I love a female-founded company, right? Don't we all? If you want to try this greens powder, Equilibria is hooking you up with 15% off. Head to myeq.com and use code BLOOM for 15% off Equilibria's daily Nutri-Greens and so many other different products on their website. That's myeq.com and use code BLOOM at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because Plant Friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little Plant Parent Personality Quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about five key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results. I'm curious, what are your hobbies outside of plants? Do you have hobbies outside of plants?
Do I have hobbies? I have kids.
You have kids. You have cute kids.
So I don't know.
I guess what are your kids' hobbies?
What are my
Maybe
kids?
That those are your
my
hobbies.
My hobbies are going to 5-year-olds' birthday parties.
Right. Fun.
No, I mean, in all seriousness, I love spending time outside. Mm-hmm. I love, obviously, spending time with my family.
Yeah.
And I'm really enjoying sort of this season, actually, of my life of spending more time at home mm-hmm. in a totally different capacity than I used to spend time at home in before. Before it would be like sweatpants and Netflix.
Yeah.
Now it's like baking muffins with the kids at 6:30 in the morning.
Oh, my God. That's fun. That's so trad life of you. Do you garden at your home? So Eliza and I actually both lived in small apartments in New York City and both have run for the hills. And now we live
In
the literal hills, in the woods, in about 2 hours north. Yeah. So do you garden on your property now outdoors too?
I do. And I'm like a really good weeder.
Mm.
Like that has been like serious stress management.
Yes, I fully agree.
I actually
wholeheartedly
only want to weed.
Me too.
Like let me at your garden. Let me just rip it out.
I want to be in demolition.
I think.
I just want, exactly. I don't even need to plant.
I just
want to rip it all
rip
out.
And chuck.
Yeah.
And it feels so good.
Yeah.
And so I do a lot of that.
I love that.
Oh my God,
can I come weed with you? I don't live that far from you.
And then I also move things around, which is actually like probably not wise. Mm-hmm. So like I have peonies that just like refuse to bloom because I keep moving them. So there's some gardening happening. I wouldn't call it successful gardening, but like anything else in life, it just takes time.
Well, and I think that's the beauty of plants, right? Because for a lot of your, I'm a great example because I shopped at the Sill weekly, you know, when I was living in New York City. You start with houseplants, then you get a windowsill, then you get a little windowsill balcony, and maybe you do a flower or a tomato or herbs.
Yeah.
Then you move, then all of a sudden you've got land and you get to just be this eternal student.
Yes.
You just get to always, and it speaks to the fact that Eliza, the founder of the Sill, is still a student in her garden outdoors. Mm-hmm. Like that's the beauty of plants is that when we're 80, we'll still be able to be stimulating our mind
Absolutely.
In a different capacity.
And by the way, the zones will all change by the time we're 80.
And by the way, we'll all be gardening in new zones by the time we get there.
Yeah.
We're kind of at time. We're going to take some questions from the audience, but I'd love to close out. Do you have a fun or, you know, inspiring favorite client or story from one of your customers that is warm and fuzzy that will leave us all going home feeling good?
So I have a folder on my computer.
Mm.
Called the Love Folder.
Oh.
And it's screenshots of customers over the years who have written in, either publicly posted or written to us directly, who everything from like the very like lighthearted, hey, you know, I just love your company.
Yeah.
Wish it had always existed, to some really heartfelt messages. And one of them was literally about this woman who came into our first store, which by the way, our first store was a total dump.
It was amazing. What are you talking about? The Chinatown store?
It was a total dump.
It was amazing. It was awesome.
It was like a kiosk with four walls. And she'd never had a plant before. Peggy, who was Peggy. Working in the store at the time, sold her a plant, told her everything she needed to know to take care of it. And she wrote us and said, I really didn't believe I could do it. And when I realized that I could, I realized that I could do so much more. Mm-hmm. And she had this amazing transformative story about how she was actually dealing with some real significant health issues. And this motivated her to turn her health around. And she did.
Wow.
Because of a houseplant. It's highlighted and bolded and it's there. And whenever I'm having a down day, I just read that and it all makes it melt away.
Oh man, what a beautiful story. Plants are so deep. They're so much more than a little windowsill decoration.
It's true.
Thank you so much for being here today. And Eliza, thank you. You can go learn about Eliza at The Sill. Follow The Sill on social media.
Yes. Your podcast is?
Growing Joy with Plants. GrowingJoyWithMaria.com as well. All right. Awesome. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Maria.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Cheers. One last cheers as I've drained this Negroni. So good. Thank you, Eliza, for all of your support of this podcast from when it launched as Bloom and Grow Radio. You know, like I said in our interview, The Sill was one of the first people to say, yes, how can we help? Let's promote you. Let's feature you. Let's give you our plant scientist as a resource. They've always been so supportive of me, and I'm so thankful to them and thankful to Eliza for building this brand, but also being inclusive and opening arms to the growing plant influencers that, like myself, that growing plant creators like myself, when we needed some support. I just love her. And her story is really just so inspiring as a female entrepreneur, as a person, as a plant lover. She's changed this community forever. And I'm so thankful that we got the chance to highlight her personal journey. And I hope this was interesting. Let me know if you like these entrepreneur profiles, interviews. I'd love to do more because there are so many interesting brands in the houseplant and garden space that have really cool stories. And I've loved all of the kind of entrepreneurship interviews that we've done about plant brands, because the horticulture industry is a very interesting space and it's different than other spaces. And I just think as a consumer who has bought so many plants and so many plant accessories, it's always interesting hearing about the passionate people behind these brands bringing these products to us. I also wanted to give a special thanks to the Northwest Flower and Garden Festival. Thanks for having me. Thanks for bringing me to Seattle and Espoma Organic. They actually brought me out to Seattle and supported me while I was talking. It was just the best time. And if you know of other flower shows that I should be attending this year, please let me know. You can always slide into my DMs at Growing Joy with Maria on Instagram, or you can email me at maria@growingjoywithmaria.com. So I hope this podcast was interesting. I hope you are inspired. And until next time, my sweet plant friends, keep growing joy. Plant friend, thank you for tuning in today. It means so much to me that I get to be part of your planty journey. If you like what you heard, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. We have so many incredible interviews and solo episodes on incredible houseplant and gardening topics that you will not want to miss this year. And while you're over there in the podcast player subscribing, why don't you click over to the review section of Growing Joy with Plants and leave us a review? Reviews are tremendously helpful for the growth of the podcast, so thanks in advance. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Growing Joy content, we've got so many options for you. First, I highly recommend you taking the Plant Parent Personality Test. It's free. It's super fun. It takes 3 minutes to complete. At the end of the test, you're going to get your plant parent personality profile and a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you and your lifestyle, inspired by your results. The links are in the show notes. If you're looking to uplevel your plant parent game, I have so many free downloads on my website that I think could help you, like the Understanding Natural Light download or 9 different ways to green up your office space. If you'd like to support the show monetarily and help me bring the show to as many people as possible for free, you can head to our Patreon link in the show notes to learn more about our offerings. And finally, I invite you to come hang out with me and continue the planty conversation on social media, on Instagram and TikTok. I'm Growing Joy with Maria. My DMs are always open if you have requests for topics or ideas for the show. Thank you again for listening. It is truly my honor and delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing joy.
Make new
plant friends, propagate knowledge, and grow some freaking joy. That's the motto of the Growing Joy Garden Society app and platform, otherwise known as the plantiest and kindest corner of the internet. If you've been an OG listener or a longtime listener, you might also know this app and platform as the Bloom and Grow Garden Party, but with the rebrand, we've rebranded it to the Growing Joy Garden Society. No trolls allowed, kind plant friends only. And if you haven't heard about the society yet, Plant Friend, you got to join. It's my online community that you can access via iOS or Android app or on your computer that I built to connect our international community of plant friends so we can all nerd out together about plants and celebrate our passion for our beloved plant babies. We have members literally all over the world. I'm so in love with this community of sweet plant friends. I can't say enough amazing things about them. But also, there's a lot of really cool features about the app you might be interested in. There's dedicated hashtags to all sorts of different subsects of planty passions like houseplants, gardening, plant-inspired DIY projects, growing joy, plants and pets, and so many more. There's a plantrepreneur group, so if you're a planty entrepreneur and you want to connect with other planty entrepreneurs, you can join that group to connect and network. There's a plant swap section. Plus, the entire app, and this is my favorite part, is entirely searchable. So say you want to learn more about Hoya, you type the word Hoya into the search bar, and literally every post ever created about Hoya will pop up so you can click in, see what other people have been posting about Hoya and learn on your own and crowdsource hair information. It's so cool. But last but not least, it's an amazing way to support the show. Your monthly membership not only goes to sustaining the platform, but it also supports my team of editors, writers, and a community manager that help the world of Bloom and Grow keep growing. So come join us. All you got to do is go to jointhegardensociety.com and sign up for the community plan. Once again, you go to jointhegardensociety.com and click the community plan. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because Plant Friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible, so I made this cutie little Plant Parent Personality Quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about five key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.